It's been wonderful to be here already tonight, and I'm sure glad I'm saved. You know, there's a time in my life I couldn't say that, and you know, as a nine-year-old boy, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. You know, I didn't have no idea what the life the Lord had in store for me. You know, and all I knowed with, He's dealing with me, and I was lost, and I need a Savior. And I'm just glad I got saved. I'm glad to know where I'm going at the end of this thing. Glad I got my spot on that lifeboat. Hopefully, you do too. And if you don't, I tell you, hey, today be a good day to find your spot, find your place on these altars and get your spot on that lifeboat before it's everlasting too late. Amen. I'm glad I got to be here tonight. I'm just plumb. You have to bear with me. I got so much going on, I can't even keep it all straight. And the Lord just kept filling me up with things. And so I might have to preach. Kevin told me I could preach for 2 hours. Y'all might have to just let me do it. And I'm just thankful to know that we serve a risen Savior this evening. I don't have to worry one bit about my God's power. Hey, He's still right there on the throne where He was, and He's always going to be in control. I'm glad of that. This evening, I'm going to read some real familiar scripture. I'll be in Isaiah chapter number 41. When you find your place, go ahead and stand with me. And I'm just going to read 2 verses tonight. It'll be real short and sweet and to the point.
God, you help him fill him up, Lord.
Yeah, man. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, this is verse 17, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. Yes. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. And you can be seated. That's all I'm going to read out of this chapter 9. I got to, you know, I've had this thought for a while. And, you know, some of this stuff I've had for over a year. And the Lord just never would let me preach it. He just always kept it on the back burner. I'd flip through my notebook and go, well, Lord, when are you going to let me preach that? And He finally, I got the green light tonight. So y'all have to bear with me. Like I said, I've got so much stuff. I just got so much going on right here. Hey, but I like what it said. Hey, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none. Hey, I remember a time when I was poor and needy. I needed that water and I didn't have none. There was no way that I could do it on my own. Hey, I had to rely on the Lord. He come by my way one day and He said, hey, I heard you and I got the water for you. I'm glad He's got it, friend. Guess what? He still got that living water. He told that woman at the well, He said, whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm glad I've got that everlasting life. Hey, I'm glad to know when the end of this thing comes, I'm going, if you're going through Psalms and read about it, David all the time was talking about that, but I like what he said in 34:6. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Hey, I can tell you, I've been through some trouble. Friend, I've had my share of things go on in my life, and I may get to deliver you my whole testimony. I don't know, but I've had plenty of troubles. You know what I found? Every time I get in trouble, and every time I need the Lord, He's always been there. There's never not once been a time that I've needed Him and called on Him when He wasn't right there on the scene, and He had just what I need. I'm thankful to know that my God cares about me enough that He shows up just in time. He don't show up on my time frame. He shows up on His. He shows up just when He needs it to fix the situation. I'm just thankful we serve a living Savior this evening. I'll share some of my testimony with you. Many of you, most of you in here don't even know this. Those that go to my church do, and they were a part of all this. And there was a time in my life, it's been in the last year or so, when I really didn't know what the Lord had in store for me. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was the next turn. You say, what happened, preacher? My wife was pregnant. We were going to have twins. We knew we were having twins. We're about 6 months along, and I was in a deer stand hunting in the woods. It was last October. I was right around my birthday. I always like to hunt around my birthday. I always have. And I was in a tree stand, and she texted me and said, can I call you? And I thought, well, that's kind of odd. She don't do that. And so I said, yeah, call me. And she said, hey, my water's broke. I'm pretty sure we're going to have to go to the hospital. And so I climbed out of that tree and I run to my house faster than I've ever run in my entire life. I got there so quick she didn't even have the door unlocked. That's how quick I run to my house. And I'm panicking at this point. We're just 6 months along, you know, and I knew that that was bleak. You know, for twins at 6 months long, that's a bleak outlook sometimes. And I prayed and I didn't really know what to do. And I really honestly, I had no idea. You know, I'm supposed to know these things and I had no clue. You know, the Lord had something working out and I couldn't understand why we were doing that. And we wound up in the hospital up there in Crossville and they said, yeah, your water's broke. We're going to ship you to Knoxville. And they shipped us down there to Knoxville. And that, you know, and we got down there and that doctor said, you know, you're not going to make it more than a couple days with your water broke in this hospital. She said, you'll lay here a few days and you'll have these babies. And the doctor from Children's come by and he said, you know, they got a chance. They got a slim chance of making it if they have them right now. He said, but they do have a chance. And he said, but, you know, what we really want to do, what we really want is for them to make it as long as they can in the womb. And, you know, and in the midst of all this, I had put this on a prayer chain at our church because I didn't know what else to do. And I had talked to my sister, and they were going to meet in North Carolina, Brother Josh Engel, my brother-in-law, and they got to praying, and my church got to praying, and some folks, they had a special prayer meeting over and over and over again. We were on prayer chains. I didn't even know. I don't have a clue who all prayed for us. Hey, but guess what? They got a hold of the Lord. You say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? Hey, them doctors kept saying, you know, hey, they're not going to make it a couple more days. You're not going to go a couple more days. Hey, we laid in a hospital bed for 2 months and never had those babies. They stayed in the womb where the water broke for 2 months, never once. And we had a few scares, hey, but the Lord took care of us. Hey, and I believe it's because there's some folks prayed for us. It ain't nothing that I done and nothing I done to deserve it. Hey, but they really prayed to the Lord. And he took care of us. The doctor kept saying, he said, you'll never go another week. You'll never go another week. You'll never go another week. There's no way. Hey, God made the way when there wasn't no way in man's eyes. Hey, God knowed what he was doing. He had it all in his hands. And guess what? We had them babies. And they spent a couple weeks in the NICU. And now you go back there and look at them. There ain't a thing in the world wrong with them. My son is the happiest baby I've ever seen. Hey, that's the Lord, friend. That's all there is to it. That's the providence of God. And I'm thankful for that this evening, friend. Hey, that's a time in my life when I was failing for thirst. I'd already been saved, but I was in a bad way. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just pray and I say, Lord, I don't understand. You know, my whole life got turned upside down. Hey, we spent 2 months in a hospital in another city. My children couldn't stay with us. I had to stay up there and stay at home. My kids were in my sister's house, my mom and dad's house, all over the place. My life was turned upside down. But you know what? The Lord never left me.
Amen.
Through all that time and all them struggles and all that mess that I had, he was right there with me the whole way. And I don't know. I didn't do nothing to deserve that. But I'm sure glad he took care of me in that situation. And I could go on and tell you time after time after time in my life where he's took care of me. I've been through so many physical storms and spiritual storms and everything. I've been through a lot. For a young man, I have been through a lot. I've been through tornadoes where, you know, that's a true story. I went through a tornado as a young kid, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I'd have been about 13 years old, and, you know, the whole house felt like it was going to fall in on our heads. And, you know, I didn't know. I didn't have a clue what was going to go on. Hey, guess what? The Lord took care of us there, too. Hey, we was a-praying. You say, well, I talked to a fellow the other day. He worked for the county, and he was cutting our road out to get to us to see if we was all right. We went to church with him, and he told me this. He said, I could hear the folks along across the way screaming. These people died just right next to my house. But guess what? We was okay. And I don't know why, but the Lord took care of us in that situation. All I could do as a little kid was pray. Hey, all my dad could do was pray. That's all he could do. There was nothing. You know, I always thought my dad was the strongest man around, but there's nothing he could do but pray for us. Hey, if the Lord took care of us, he had a plan. See, the Lord looked down. He said, I know I got a plan for these people's lives. Hey, I know that I got something for this feller to do. And he may not think he wants to do it, but I'm going to make sure he does it anyhow. now. Hey, I tell you, I'm not always done what I'm supposed to do, but the Lord's always took care of me, and I'm just thankful that I serve a God like that. Hey, that's who we're talking about right here. Hey, when I was poor, when I was needy, and I sought water, hey, he brought it up every time. Every time I get to again a real low, my well starts a bubbling up every time, and he just helps me. Hey, and so I'm going to get into my message here now, and my question I got for you is, how thirsty are you?
Yeah.
How thirsty are you? Hey, there might be somebody in here that's so thirsty, they don't know what's going on. They may say, preacher, I've never met this Jesus. Hey, that'd be a good day to come get saved. Hey, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, that's whosoever. It don't matter what you've done or where you've been or where you're from. It's whosoever. I'm glad I got in on that as a kid. I guess what? You can get in on it too. You ought to be there. You'll be the thirstiest person in here. Right. I'm telling you, friend, how thirsty are you, church? I got to thinking about, as we get saved and the Holy Ghost comes on the inside and it starts to bubble up every once in a while. Hey, that's our well of water that he's talking about. Hey, that Holy Ghost indwelling. It gets a bone up every once in a while. I got to think about, there's a lot of times that I'm not thirsty enough, that I don't desire the presence of God enough in my saved life. Hey, friend, I've been there. I've done that. Hey, there's been times in my life where I've not desired that. You say, well, I don't know what being thirsty means. Here, I'll read you what Webster says. A sensation of dryness in the mouth and the throat associated with a desire for liquids. Now, listen to this right here. An ardent desire, a craving, or a longing. Hey, there's been plenty of times in my life where I didn't have that longing or that craving for the things of God. I got to want to put me in charge and me up there. And I said, I'll be all right walking on my own. Hey, when the Lord started to call me to preach, that's exactly what I done. I said, Lord, I can't do that. I said, I'm just a bashful kid. You know who I am. I can't get up and talk in front of nobody, and I can't never do that. I said, there's no way. I said, you ought to find somebody else. And I tried to walk away. And I walked on my own. I headed this direction. And I kept trying to walk. And the Lord just kept on wooing me. He just kept on wooing me. He said, son, I really got this for you to do. And finally, I surrendered. Hey, and it's been the best thing I've ever done. Hey, and the best thing I've ever done was try to put my life in the will of God. That's the best thing you can do. Hey, I know this is youth meeting. And so I tell you, friend, the best thing you could ever do is try to put yourself in the will of God, friend. That's it. That's all you need to do. Don't even worry about nobody else. Don't worry about no other things. Hey, put yourself in the will of God in your life, and it'll be all right. I tell you, I've never been happier since I just gave up and started preaching. That's been several years ago now. See, it's been 2016 when I surrendered my call to preach as a young boy still in high school. I didn't have no idea what I was getting into, but I sure am glad. That's the Lord. I answered the call to the Lord. Now, I tell you, right here is this is the verb meaning to thirst. To feel thirsty or to suffer thirst. And that's what your Bible said right there, to suffer thirst. I tell you, there's been many times I've suffered thirst. And the other verb definition is to crave vehemently and urgently. That's mean you desperately needing it right now. And I tell you, the night I got saved, I was in desperate need of some water. I got to thinking about, there's a certain feller, he wound up in hell. And guess what? He desperately needed was a little drop of water. Hey, he is thirsty. That's what he needed. He craved the water. He said, please just give me a drop on your finger to cool my burning. Hey, friend, don't wait till you get right there to decide you need the Lord. Hey, the best thing you can do is go ahead and get that took care of in this place right now tonight. That'd be the best thing you ever done in your life. I promise you, you'll never regret that decision. I've done a lot of things that I regret. I made a lot of bad choices, hey, but I've never not once regretted coming and getting saved on an altar at Dipper Springs Baptist Church. There's never been a time in my life I've said, I wished I wouldn't have done that. I sure am glad I'm saved this evening. You can be glad too. And I tell you, as I thought about this and as I researched this, or rather, I got to looking up dehydration. Now get this. This is what the definition of dehydration is: an abnormal depletion of bodily fluids. Dehydration occurs when you lose more fluids than you take in. Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of times I've done that. Oh my. I've got dehydrated on the Lord. So what are you talking about, preacher? Hey, I didn't read my Bible like I was supposed to. I didn't pray like I was supposed to. I didn't talk to the Lord like I was supposed to. Whenever we'd go to church and I'd just go home. I'd go to church and I'd go home. I just let it become a routine. As a teenager, that's what I'd done for a while. That's what I like to do. I just go to church, let it come home. I was a deacon's son, and my mom played piano. Dad was a deacon, led singing for years, so I was just expected to be there. And so I was there. But I tell you what I didn't do. I didn't work on my relationship with the Lord. I let myself get dehydrated. Let myself dry up. Hey, kids, don't do that. Don't do like I done. Best thing you can do is get in this book while you're young. I promise you, you get in this book and you go to reading on it, it'll help you, friend. Hey, this is the living Word. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the same in the beginning was with God. And by Him were all things made, and without Him was nothing made that was made. Hey, that's this Word. This is the living Word of God. We hold in our hands, hey, the living Word of God. And what do? We set it over on the table, and we walk off and leave it. I'm guilty just the same as anybody in here. That's what I did as a teenager. I'd rather read books at a library at school instead of my Bible. Hey, and I tell you, I suffered for that as an adult and as I grew up. You say, what are you talking about? Whenever I started preaching, I started reading a little bit more, but I wasn't on the level that I could have been if I'd have been studying that thing when I was a kid. I suffered when I started preaching because I was not where I could have been. And that was a tough thing for me to go through. And I had to do a lot more learning and a lot more studying than the other people around me had announced their calling by the same time because they had been in the book for years. Hey, don't be that way, friend. Amen, brother. I encourage you. You get a hold of this book and you stick to it. That's the best thing you can do as a young person. Get a hold of this book and you stick to it. I'll read you some more about this dehydration here. It causes your body to not function normally. And you say, well, I don't understand what that means, preacher. Well, look here. When you go to getting away from the Lord, and you go to walking away from the Lord, hey, a born-again believer is going to desire the things of the Lord. They're going to desire to come to church. But you go to getting dehydrated. You go to cutting the Lord off. Say, I don't want none. Nope, don't fill me up. Don't fill me up. Don't fill me up. Hey, guess what? It'll make your body function not normally. You'll want to walk away more and more and more. And directly, you'll be so far away, you don't even know how you got there. I'm telling you, friend, don't let yourself get in that shape. Hey, don't get dehydrated. It'd be a shame to sit in church like this and get dehydrated. It sure would. And I got some symptoms of dehydration wrote down here. And headaches are one of them. Delirium, confusion, tiredness, dizziness, weakness. Get that? Weakness. Lightheadedness. Hey, I tell you what, I got some things. I brought some things to help me out here tonight because I'm just a simple feller and I like to have visual examples, so I brought some things. My kids have been asking me all evening what in the world I'm bringing cups to church for. And that's a blessing that they know you're not supposed to have a drink in church. But I got all kinds of stuff right here. I got some cups. I'm going to give you some analogies here with these cups in a minute. But I'm going to get to right here. This is the end of this symptoms here. Loss of appetite, but you may be craving sugar. And, you know, everybody in here knows that sugar's bad for you. Hey, what happens when you get to eat too much sugar? You get diabetes, right? You keep eating sugar, you get diabetes. Hey, then what happens? Your limbs, what do? Start dying. They're going to start cutting them off directly. You die. You say, what are you talking about? Because you ate too much sugar. So I got to reading that, and I thought, my goodness. You know, when we get away from the Lord, we ain't craving sugar, but we're craving sin. What's the Bible say about sin? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Hey, wages of sin is death. We get to getting away from Him and getting over there and getting dehydrated. We get to craving that sin, and then we're just pushing ourselves further and further and further into trouble. Hey, don't do it, young friend. Stick with this place. Now I'm going to show you my cups. Everybody knows what this is. This is just a plastic cup, and I got to... This is what I've had for a year. The Lord gave me this a long time ago. And so y'all have to bear with me. Hey, this cup right here is weak, right? It don't keep nothing warm. Everything you put in here just goes to a lukewarm state real quick. It don't keep nothing warm, and it cracks real easily. You know, I ruined that cup right then. All it took was just a little bit of squeeze. That cup's no good. But guess what? I can ruin things Lord puts them back whole.
Hey.
Weak as I am, Paul said, like this old wretched man that I am.
Yeah.
Hey, that's me. I'm wretched. I'm no good.
Go ahead,
hey, there's been plenty of times that I busted my cup in my life. I've ruined everything, you know, where I couldn't even take in nothing from the Lord, where he couldn't give me nothing out of my well. You know what the purpose of a well is? It's to always give you water.
Hey,
that's the purpose of a well. That it's not so that it can go dry ever so often or go dry every once in a while. It's to always have water. You don't dig a well and plan on it going dry. You plan on having that water. Hey, there's been times that I busted my cup and I've messed things up and I've not been able to take on that water, but I'm glad to know the Lord can fix me and put me back to taking on water. Hey, I'm so thankful for that this evening. I got to thinking, I got some more cups here, and I got all kinds of cups in this bag, so you'll have to bear with me. It's going to take me a while. So this is a foam cup right here, and you know what it does? It keeps things warm a lot longer than that red cup. I got to thinking, you know, as we go through, we all know we're in the Laodicean church, and it talks about us being lukewarm, and I believe it's a lot of times it's because our cups ain't right. You know, our cup is not right. You know, the Holy Ghost is still pouring it out on us, and we got the wrong cups all the time. We got them little plastic cups, and we can't keep nothing warm to save our lives. Hey, the Holy Ghost will move on us, and then what do? A day later, we've done forgot about it. It ain't never like the old timers. They would remember the things that God done for them, and it meant something to them when they saw a prayer answered or saw something occurred in their life. And I strive every day. I want to be like that, to where it means something to me when the Lord comes down and he answers a prayer in my life. Every time I look at my children, I want to thank the Lord for what he's done for me. Hey, I don't deserve that. I know people who have children that were the same age and they died. I have a very good friend is like that, and everybody here knows him. Hey, he died. I don't know why the Lord took him. I don't know why he got mine. I'm just thankful he did, and I don't want to lose that. I want my cup to stay warm. Hey, every time I get to getting dry or get too far, you know, everything kind of cools down, I can think back to the things the Lord's done for me, and everybody in here has got something he's done for you. I guarantee you, even if all he's ever done for you, save your soul, hey, that's more than plenty to keep you on fire for eternity. Hey, guess what? You're not going to a devil's hell. That ought to be enough to stir you up for him. And I tell you, these old foam cups, they do good about keeping things warm just a little longer. But guess what? They're brittle too. And, you know, I got this one right here. I don't know if you can see it or not. It's got a few holes in it. And what I done was I took a crossbow bolt when I was at home and poked holes in this cup. And my wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "You'll see later." But I took me a crossbow bolt and poked holes in this cup. You said, "Well, preacher, I understand. Let me read you something. Let me read you something right here. This will help you. If I can get to it. Hang on, I find it. I didn't. Got too much highlight. Look here. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Hey, there's been some fiery darts in this foam cup, and it wasn't ready to handle them.
Right.
This old foam cup, see, it keep things warm just a little while longer. Hey, it had enough relationship with the Lord that, you know, well, he knew what scripture to quote to be looking okay. And he went to church, and he knew that, it's going to be okay if I just go on to church and I go through the motions like everybody else. Hey, that phone cup there, it knows what to do and don't apply it.
Right.
And so I got to looking at some different cups that apply it. And I got some cups that are going to apply it here. And if I can get all this out like the Lord's given to me. I got here in my hand, I got a glass coffee cup. You know what about these cups? They're a little tougher than them foam cups. Hey, they can be broken.
Yep.
Guess what? I could bust this thing. Hey, but you know what? This cup right here, out of all them cups, this is the easiest one to fix. All you got to do is glue it back together. And there's been times in my life I've been broken. And I've just been plumb broken. Yeah. Plumb no good. Well, I'm sorry, and the Lord's glued me back together. Like this old glass cup right here, he's put me back together. And he just made things all right. And I'm thankful that he's... How did I tell you? I don't even know how to get this out. I'm just glad he puts me back together. And the Lord takes care of us, church. He really does. I'll read you. Read you this right here. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Watch this. "And having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the blessed breastplate of righteousness." Hey, he didn't tell you, having done all to stand, just sit back. Just sit back and watch. He said, stand there, fold. He said, get up and stand. He said, look here, we're going to have to fight these things. And so I got to, as I read through this, and I got to thinking about all, you know, what kind of a cup would be sort of got everything. You know, I tried to find a cup that was perfect for everything. And everybody in this room will know what this cup is because this is the most popular cup in America today. Everybody knows what this is. Yeah. Well, guess what? This cup has a reputation. You know what that is? It's tough. You know what else it is? It don't have no, I can beat this cup on the table and still use it. And guess what? It keeps things hot the longest. If you look about this cup right here, and you're going to keep something hot the longest. Hey, you might get in a tough time. This cup's going to go through some tough days. You know, you might take it out in a real cold or real hot or whatever, hey, but it's going to keep what's inside of it warm the longest. I got to, you know, whenever we get things from the Holy Ghost, hey, it's good and hot. It's right there, and it's just what we need. Hey, and we're the ones let it cool off. Hey, we need to be like this old cup right here. Hey, guess what I can do? I can beat this thing. I can run it over. I can take it, and they can't do nothing to it. I'll read you, you know, this is the cup we're going to have to strive to be like, church. And I tell you, you know, I'm holding this cup in my hand. If I can find this scripture real quick, I'll read you this. The Lord will just give it to me. But and I know I'm slowing down, but I tell you. This cup right here, this is what we need to be like. These are like a Stanley cup. I don't think this one's a Stanley cup, but that's what they are. Hey, this is supposed to be the most insulated cup, the most toughest cup. You know, we can fight over it all the time. And guess what? It's just going to be all right. And that's how we're going to be if we just put on that whole armor of God. We just get in this book right here and we just read and we just study and we just desire to get closer to Him. Hey, your Bible says that you draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Hey, that means we got to have a part in that too.
Right,
hey, we got to get to, if we want to get close to Him, hey, we need to be wearing these old altars out and praying. Hey, that's the way you get close to Him. Hey, whenever it's time and you're off by yourself, you need to be over there praying and praying to the Lord and seeking His face. Hey, I promise you, if you start doing that, He'll show up. Anytime that I've ever something like that in my life, a burden, and all I've done is just pray and ask God and pray and ask God and read my Bible. Hey, guess what? He shows up every time with the answer. Hey, that's what we got to do, friend. If we want that good relationship with the Lord like the old timers had, we're going to have to draw nigh to Him. It's us that have walked away. It's my fault. It's all my fault that I'm not as on fire for God as the old timers that I can remember. I can tell you about all kinds of different folks throughout my life that made a big difference. That I looked at them and said, boy, them people are on fire for God. Hey, even as a little kid, you know, there'd be people in my church that'd just get up and they'd testify or they'd sing or they'd just cry or run or whatever. And I know that they're on fire for God. Hey, what do? I sit back most of the time. I'm quiet. Even though the Lord bubbling me up on the inside, most of the time I'm quiet. I'm just a quiet individual. Those of you who know me know that. But I'm just quiet. Hey, I wish I could be more like the old timers. And you know what they done? They had a relationship with the Lord. Me and Caleb was talking about it the other day. When it got time, when they was done in the evening with their work or whatever they was doing, they got in this old book right here.
You're right.
And they read it, and they believed it too. They prayed, and when they prayed, they meant it. They wasn't saying, well, you know, maybe if you feel like it, Lord, hey, they prayed, they left it with the Lord, and they meant it, and they meant business. And we need to get back to that. Yeah. But I'll read you this about this cup right here. This old cup's got a good handle on it, right? All right, and you know, I'm holding on to this cup, and you know, if you got your full armor of God, you more like this cup, hey. And you know what's good about this cup and about these cups, and you know, I'm holding on to all of them. You caught on to that, right? And if you ain't saved, guess what? You ain't got a cup.
Right.
Nobody's holding on to your cup. You got me here. Nobody's got a hold of you. Nobody's hanging on to your cup. And you know, guess what? You're going to be able to fall, and you're going to be able to go to hell. Hey, that's what. Guess what? Right here. If you're saved this evening, then guess what? And you got that well bubbling up. I'm going to read you about who's holding on to your cup.
Oh, yes.
My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Hey, if you're saved this evening, hey, you're in the Father's hand, and guess what? Nobody's going to pull you out. Hey, come here, Cameron. I'll pick on Cameron. I go to church with Cameron. Pull on that cup a minute. Look here, I got a hold of it. It ain't going to get coming out. Hey, nobody can pluck me out of the Father's hand. I'm thankful, hey, that when I got saved, hey, that was eternal. It was put up and that was the end of things. I didn't have to worry one bit. You say, what are you talking about? Hey, the God that made everything. has got me in his hands. Hey. I'm thankful for that this evening. Hey, how thirsty are we, church? Hey, how full is your cup? I want to get my cup fuller. I don't know about you. I'd like for whenever I leave this place, I want it to be more full, more full every time. I want my cup to be growing. You know what else about that Stanley cup? It'll hold more than all the rest of the cups combined. Hey, you know what that means? That means you can hold more than the Lord. Hey, as you grow and as you get bigger and as you go all about your life, hey, guess what? There comes time you'll be able to hold a little more and a little more and a little more. As when I started preaching, I'd preach for 5 minutes and I'd be done. Hey, but guess what? As I grew and as I grew and as I grew, it just went a little longer and a little more and a little more. I was able to hold just a little bit more of the Holy Ghost. Hey, if you'll just stick with the Lord, friend, you'll be able to grow a little more and a little more and a little more. And guess what? You'll be amazed at what you can do in just a little bit of time. Hey, I tell you, friend, I encourage you this evening. Make sure your cup's good. Don't make sure it ain't got no holes in it. Hey, make sure when that well goes to bubbling up that you can fill her up. Hey, I'm glad to know that I can fill my cup up sometimes. And, you know, and just sit back and just enjoy it. Just big old tears start falling. And, you know, and the Lord just comes by my way every once in a while and just fills her up. And all I got to do is sit there and say, thank you, Lord. Hey, I have those times in my life. And I tell you what, friend, it's a miserable one when you can't have those times.
You're right.
I've been there. I know how it is. Whenever I was the Lord's telling me to preach, we'd have a good service, and I'd be so miserable sitting over there because the Lord was dealing with me, and I knew I wasn't where I was supposed to be, and I'd be miserable, and everybody else would be full and talk about what a good service we had, and I'd just be just the most miserable person in there because the Lord had something for me to do, and I'd be miserable, and He wouldn't let me get in on it. Hey, but once I surrendered, hey, guess what? My cup got to getting full again, and things got to being all right again. Hey, whatever you got going on, the Lord will help you. He'll take care of you. I always told Him I'd never be able to stand in front of a crowd and preach. There's no way I could do that, Lord. And guess what? He just, every time I get up here, He just takes over. He just helps me. The Holy Ghost just comes in and He just helps me and He just moves in here. And I'm so thankful for that. So have you been to the well, friend? If you ain't been, I encourage you to go. Hey, listen to this right here. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. I'm glad He ain't forsaken us, church. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion, and declare among the people His doings. Say, that's something I struggle with right there, is declaring it. You know, a lot of times I see His doings, but I don't declare it to near enough people like I ought to. You know, I really don't. I'm in a position, and where I work, you know, we had a lady testify in our church about her niece losing her job over sharing the gospel with somebody. Lost her job at a bank. They said, you can't talk about that. She said, well, I'm out. I commend her for that. I commend her for that. She's a single mom and got a kid, but guess what? She said, I'm out. And the Lord will take care of her. I know He will. I just read you right there where He said He would. He'll take care of her. I know He will. And I'm in a position where I can witness to whoever I want to. I can say whatever I want to about the Lord on my job site, and there won't be nobody say a word to me because I'm the second in command. There won't be a person, a soul, say that to me. And here I go most days. I don't say nothing. I just go on. Just go on. Lord's been working in my life, been better to me than I ever thought I could deserve. And I just go on. I don't share my testimony near as much as I ought to. I got a powerful testimony through the hospital experience and different things like that. I really feel like my testimony is pretty powerful, but I don't share it near enough like I ought to. And that's old me. You know, I could do a lot better at that. And we all could if we just be honest. A thought I got when I was in the hospital, it broke my heart, and I've got a list of notes and different things while we were in the hospital that the Lord would just give me something, you know, and I wrote it down. And I've preached, I don't know how many messages from the hospital time period in my life that I'd gotten that time frame and wrote down that time frame. And you know, I've got all different kind of messages, and one of the thoughts, and I'd already preached this, but it was, what have you done for the cause of Christ? And that really got me. Here, I mean, I'm sitting in the hospital and I couldn't do nothing then. You know, I'm in hospital. I could talk to nurses. You know, I could do that. You know, talk to people I run into. But I couldn't go out and share the gospel like I could if I hadn't been in the hospital. And you know what? I had not been sharing it like I ought to have before I went in the hospital. The Lord broke my heart with that. Hey, what have I done for the cause of Christ? It ain't much. He's done everything for me and I ain't done much for Him. You know, and all of my stuff, everything I ever done for Him could be put in a little spot, and everything He ever done for me would overshadow it a million times. But I want my cup to be full. I want my cup to be full. I hope you do too. I'm about wrapping up here. I wish somebody would come get a song. But I'm going to ask you, have you been to the well? If you ain't been, I can tell you how to get here. Hey, guess what? If you're thirsty this evening, you can get full. It don't matter what you got going on in your life or what problems you got, no matter how many storms you're going through or what your issue is, I promise you, you can find help at these altars. Right. Hey, the Lord wants to help you. Yeah. Hey, He's a very present help in the time of trouble. He's been there every time I've been in trouble.
Hey.
And if you'll be honest, He's been there when you're in trouble too. If you don't know Him this evening as your Savior, you listen to me and you listen to me good. This would be the best thing that you could ever do today. Take everything else off your calendar. Let September the 1st, 2024 be the day you got saved. And that'll be the best time that you've ever had in your life. I guarantee you, if you don't like being saved, you didn't get saved. I've never met somebody that didn't like being saved. I've never met somebody that regretted it. Hey, friend. Don't wait. Don't let it go no longer. Hey, don't give the devil five more minutes. I'll tell you more about my testimony. As I was being dealt with, and I was dealt with for a little while before I got saved, it seems to be a pattern of me being hard-headed. And I was dealt with for a little while before I got saved. The Lord just kept convicting me, and I kept saying, no, I'll wait. No, I'll wait. No, I'll wait. Hey, and guess what? The Lord put my brother-in-law in my life. You listen to me. And he was just, him and my sister were just dating at the time. And he was just a young, starting out preacher. And it seemed like every time that I needed to go somewhere, he's the only person around that could give me a ride. And guess what? He had a single cab truck, so just me and him and the Lord. And he'd give me a ride, and we'd go places, and he'd talk to me about the Lord, and he'd talk to me about being saved, and about how that was about how it's the best thing ever happened to him. And then the Lord just kept dealing with me. And then one day I said, I've had enough. And I went and got saved on the altar of church. And guess what? My brother-in-law got to be there for that. He was up testifying. The youth group was singing in that day. Hey, that could be you tonight, friend. It could be your day. Hey, I remember my day. That had been August the 12th. Hey, I remember that day like it was yesterday. And I'll never forget what the Lord done for me that morning. Hey, that could be you this morning.
Right.
It'd be just as easy for you to come down here and pray and meet the Lord. And you'll have that well above up. You'll know what I've been talking about. And I tell you, friend, I beg you to come tonight. Don't wait. Don't wait no longer. I waited just about too long myself. I know the Lord was going to keep dealing with me. I hope He was. But I'm glad I got saved when I did. Hey, the Lord takes care of us, friend. And He's long-suffering. He wants you to come be saved. That's what He wants. He wants to draw you up and let you be saved so you can get a part of this. You can get in on this. You come get saved. Hey, guess what? Next time you're at church, you'll understand what's going on around here. I tell you, friend, I beg you this evening, if you have a need to come, whatever it might be, I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what anybody's needs are. I beg you to come. They're going to go ahead and sing. I ask everybody if they would stand. And I...